Hi, this is Royce. If you're listening to this, it's episode 6.5 of Teens Talking TCGS, the Lost JD episode. Basically, what happened was when we were recording the episode with JD, he had some technical difficulties with GarageBand, and JD lost everything after about an hour and a half. So that wasn't in the original episode, but what I was able to do was Paige, her recording had an echo where you could hear everyone else's feeds, so I boosted the fuck out of that file when everyone else was talking and then kind of turned it down when she was, so it kind of comes out that you could hear what everyone is saying, more or less. It sounds like complete trash. The audio quality is terrible, but if you can put up with it, JD talks more in this half of the episode. He tells a few great stories. It might be worth your while if you care that much, or it might not. I guess it's your choice what you do with your time. So without further ado, I'm not even going to bother to put the theme song in. I'm just gonna transition straight to us talking with the terrible audio quality. So enjoy.
Here's a question to build up on that thought. What was your TCGS when you were our age? Was there something that,
you
were not to get?
Okay, Roy, so at 125, you're going to have to resync mine because it just brought up an error, and I don't know if it there was an issue. But it's at 1 hour and 25 minutes.
Should we do the clapping thing?
That happened to me last time, dude.
It just said disk was too slow, but that shouldn't be the case.
It might help to do the clappy thing.
Let me set up the clappy thing, unless you're going to edit this out, so the audience can realize it, keep this in, that Royce's way of having the podcast, the different audio tracks, sync together, if he does a countdown, has everyone clap simultaneously, which I think is great, and weirdly, a symbol and metaphor for the podcast.
Because it doesn't work at all.
Royce, you give the countdown.
Okay, 3, 2, 1.
Nailed it.
Good. I interrupted you, Royce, so what were you saying?
So, when you were our age, was there a TCGS or something that you looked up to, or were kind of obsessed with? I know I probably had other TCGSs in terms of books or authors and movies, things that I like. But what was that for you as a teenager? And I guess in a way, what else is that for you guys?
And I have a follow up question on that. Do you think that you would have liked TCGS if you were a teen watching it?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question.
Yeah. So both of those.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. The stuff that I was into as a teen myself, for me it was movie stuff. I was a kid growing up that literally every book about movies, every time I had a school assignment, I would try to make it about movies somehow. Any biography was about a director, anything, everything was about movies. And so I became obsessed with certain directors and certain movies, and I'd read everything about them and try to learn everything about them. And so I don't know if there's one specific thing. I'm trying to think. I don't know. Do you guys have other stuff aside from TCGS, and that will buy me time to think as well?
I was obsessed with College Humor for a long time.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Andres and I were talking about this last time.
I wasn't the same level as Naomi, but I definitely was really into it for a while.
Is this where we're going to announce our big contest that we were talking about? An hour and a half.
Wait, so I'll just explain how obsessed I was with College Humor, and then we'll go into it. It's just I was so obsessed where I ran a fan blog on Tumblr. This was my junior year of high school. We talked about this not on the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Off there, definitely off there.
Context for our listeners, all three of them. I ran this blog, and I was so, and it had enough, importance that College Humor contacted me and was like, do you want to be in a video? They wanted me to, the idea was there was a, I think it was called Dire Consequences, was this series where two of the writers would, like, one of them, they would do, like, a rock, paper, scissors to find out which one of them had to do, like, this dire consequence.
And it was, like, absurd things over rock,
yeah,
paper, scissors.
Yeah. And so the idea was that they were going to, whoever lost was going to play
Night
in cat. Trivia.
I will. I'll eat it. Bye. Please. I'm so sorry. Keep going.
Every time it happens, it's so funny. And Royce is losing it, apparently. Oh, my God. Everybody is nuts. So, I was going to play one of them in trivia because I was such a super fan. And then, whenever they got a question wrong or I got one right, they would shock them with a dog collar, I think was the idea. But
yeah.
I couldn't do it because my mom was like, no, I'm not letting you miss school. That was the thing.
It's
but I think
such a happy story.
I think that was like such a that it's also how I found TCGS, but more importantly it was like being obsessed with comedy and not maybe the same themes of TCGS, but it was interesting where like I would watch like Bleep Bloop, which was just them hanging out on a couch and just making jokes. But they were always really funny, and they always had like Gethard was on it, Pete Holmes, and these people just sit around and make jokes playing video games, and that was one of my favorite things to watch. Aside from like all of the dumb jokes that they would make, where they played heightened versions of themselves. But I was really into because they put out content so frequently, just like TCGS does, that like I always had something new to absorb. I think that was my big thing.
What's the contest we're talking about? I don't know.
It's not really a contest. We're
going
to try to get, we've been saying we wanted to get a celebrity.
Oh, that was,
giant air quotes. Like, we're going to try to get either Jeff Rubin or Pat Castle as, like, on the podcast. But we're going to make it a competition between the two of them.
Oh, my God.
So we're going to be the first one to appear on the podcast wins. So,
I will say this, is that I was just I just emailed with Jeff Rubin yesterday about teens talking to CBS.
What?
Me and Naomi are both so excited.
Oh my.
So someone's already got a head. We know who's doing the and Miley's doing the. Miley's doing like the same typical teen girl fan out fanning herself thing, like that motion.
No. Wait, please explain.
Produce a lot of the original content stuff and some of the branded content. And Jeff and I worked together for a little while on Nerd Alert, which was a thing that he had, which was like a, it was like basically like just the Jeff Rubin show, but on College Humor and shorter.
Yeah.
And so he and I would work together on that a lot. And so I emailed him recently, just kind of been listening to a lot of his podcasts, and I was like, Jeff, I think you have one of the best podcasts out there, and I was laughing about some of the guests that he had. And so we were just catching up via email, and then at the same time, I think I had listened to your guys, some episode of Teens Talking to Guests, where you guys all mentioned that you got into the Gethard show via Jeff,
yeah.
And so I was laughing, he's asking about the pilots, and I told him, also, I have to thank you, some of our diehard fans all point to you as the one that got me the Gethard show, so thank you for that, and then we were laughing about, whatever it's ruined this show that he was on, and so yeah, that was just today and yesterday. So,
how are we gonna do this? Because we haven't thought past like, oh, we either want Jeff Rubin or Pat Castle to come and record an episode with us.
Just harass him on Twitter. So
yeah,
I
guess
that's what Diddy Gethard is, right?
Yeah.
A lot less, like.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. City, they're like, oh, another person asking me to be on their public access. Jeff Rubin's like, oh, someone asked me to be on a podcast? Like, I guess I'll do that. Like, why not?
So if you're listening now, which God knows if anyone is,
yeah,
and you want Jeff Rubin to be on it, you could ask him on Twitter. And then if someone's listening now and wants to have Castle on it, then they could ask him on Twitter. And it's like, gonna work, right?
And if that works, we're gonna aim for John Mulaney next.
That is Paul Rudd and John Mulaney are the my dream guest, I think.
Then Barack Obama is after John Mulaney.
I don't
think
Dalai
Lama is after Barack Obama.
Okay. We should.
I don't think you guys have to harass these people. Also, I think you could politely ask them, and I'm sure a few of them will be more than willing to do it.
Okay.
Harassing is probably
JP.
Where the problem starts.
One person tweets about it, I'll be like surprised.
Like it's more
also
like
on LinkedIn.
Like we'll campaign for it, essentially.
We should say the email because someone messaged me and they're like, I don't know the email to your podcast. We're so bad about that. About that. Okay, it's TCGS team.
What is
the TCGSTEENZ @gmail.com. I realize it makes no sense. Or the one I just made.
Because people have been sending us so many emails to the wrong account.
Yes, and I feel really bad about that.
Which is logical.
I feel really bad about that.
Oh well.
Okay.
So that was a tangent.
Yeah, what was the other email? Do you guys remember that one?
TCGS@gmail.com.
Yeah, that's
the name of the podcast.
Okay.
All right.
The most obvious thing it should have been. So JD,
bring it back. So back to JD. What do you think your TCGS was?
For me, I was really obsessed with radio dramas as a kid. I think as a teen, I think I listened to like every one, and I had myself a radio drama show on our school radio station. Because I liked getting obsessed with very small things that other people I felt like weren't into. Like those are things that I got excited about, and then I want to learn everything about them. So I got really into. Honestly, I think the biggest thing that was most like TCGS for me was track and field. The extent that I got into that world, and like I made friends the same way you guys made friends with the other runners across the country that were a big part of the like track and field world in the country and stuff like that. Like we became friends through all that stuff. And
so you a big runner?
I don't anymore. I was the captain of our school's track team. I was a hurdler, but I also ran cross country. But I was a better sprinter than I was a distance runner. I was obsessed with it. Me and my friends spent every waking second talking about it and going to races. And we formed friendships with kids from other schools across the country. And we'd, you know, hang out online like that, not too dissimilar from things like this. And to this day, like, if I find someone else that's, like, into running the same way that I am, I can talk for hours and hours and hours about all the goings-on and all the best races of high school back in the, like, you know, all these big national races that I love talking about and reminiscing about. I think that was my closest thing to TCGS, the sense that I was obsessed with it, knew everything about it, and to this day still, like, retain all this knowledge about it.
Mm-hmm. So is that story about, what is it, Oscar, the South African sprinter, the one that made his girlfriend, is that, like, a big thing right now? I feel like that must be.
That's not a big thing. The big thing right now, honestly, is there's only a couple big sponsors that sponsor international track and field, and that's mostly Nike's the big one. And in the United States, we're having our first ever sort of, you know, this guy Galen Rupp, he's the same age as me, and when I was in high school, he was sort of the villain on the national scene because ever since he was a kid, he was
bad boy cross country.
Well, not a bad boy. He was trained by Alberto Salazar, who's one of the great American distance runners, since he was a kid. There's always rumors that he had his own underwater treadmill. He slept in a pressurized thing to, like, so that he could
make
his CO2 levels change.
He looks like the Cobra Kai of your existence.
Well, so he was like the top runner in the nation at the time in high school. And in Illinois, we had this kid, Matt Withrow, who was from a really small school, but he was also a really great runner. And so there's this whole thing where Matt Withrow made this big surging. He made it to nationals.
That's amazing.
There was this big showdown between
to throw Galen Rupp and then this kid Shadrach Kipchu that just Shadrach. Who I believe just transferred that year from Ethiopia, and so like was a couple years older and like technically not eligible, and they got a lawyer to like reverse things so he could be eligible.
This is the greatest story.
This is not real. This is definitely a movie.
Honestly, I've been wanting to like make a documentary about this because you can find it if you look up the whatever it was. I think it was the 2003 the big national cross country race known as Foot Locker Cross Country National. Foot Locker sponsors it, and that's the one place where all the top runners in the country converge and race. And so
you have to make a documentary.
You really should.
Oh, it's amazing. But so then what happened was there's TV coverage. So around the world, around the country, not the world, around the country, all of us running fans, all the high school running fans who were high schoolers at the time, we got up early in the morning because it was a West Coast feed. And it was like, you know, 10 a.m. or whatever whatever time it was there. It was kind of having the race. It was really early. And so we're all up, met someone's house to watch the race. And they have the coverage on ESPN of it. And the announcers are totally talking about how the guy from Illinois, Matt Withrow, who's sort of this like kid from a small town, he's the only real runner at his school, and he completely destroyed. He has long hair, and he's very quiet. He was like wore a headband, and he was like real hero kind of guy you can get behind. And so they're talking about, the announcers were like, you know, they'd go about the different regions, the Midwest, the West, the South, and the Northeast, and they're like, from the West Regional, we have Galen Rupp, the top, and they have this, like, pre-arranged package of him training and all this stuff, and they're like, then they have this whole package about Shadrach Kipchu, and all the announcers are like, this race is really between Shadrach Kipchu and Galen Rupp, it's a two-man race, it's about them, who's going to come out between the two, and they're like, they're also, relative unknown, Matt Withrow from the Midwest, is well there, don't think he's going to be a factor in this race. So the gun goes off, the race starts happening, all of the coverage is about Shadrach Kipchu versus Galen Rupp. Galen Rupp is this kid who's being sponsored by one of the top running coaches in coaching in general while he's a high schooler. And so they're like interviews with his coach being like, yeah, we've been working on this and this, and you know, he's not going to go to college, he's just going to go straight into all this sort of stuff. So Matt Withrow's big thing was at the 3-mile race, the 2-mile mark, he always makes a surge to destroy everybody. So this entire time, all the announcers were like, so it's you know, the lead pack is Shadrach Kipchu, Galen Rupp, so-and-so, Ryan Deke, Matt Withrow, and da-da-da-da. And they're like, it's really going to be a two-man race. Kipchu and Rupp are going to pull away anytime soon. So then around the 2-mile mark, it's a 3-man pack. It's Galen Rupp, Shadrach Kipchu, and Matt Withrow. And they're like, Withrow doing a real good job holding on here, real impressive, but it's really going to be a two-man race here. When's Galen going to kick it? When's Galen going to take it over? At the 2-mile mark, Matt Withrow makes his move. He goes into a full-on sprint, and the announcer's like, whoa, Matt Withrow at the 2-mile mark, making a big move, but it's probably too risky. He's too much energy. You know, he's pretty much in his final sprint here. He's a good move, but unfortunately, he's not going to lose rubber tip to, which he didn't, and it was sort of one of the first times in his career that he had made that big move at the 2-mile mark, and there'd been people that were good enough to keep up with him. So then he moves back, he starts losing space on them, and literally the announcers go, all right, that's it, Rupp and Kipchu. This race is between Rupp and Kipchu right now. Withrow expended all his energy, that's it. So then there's 800 meters left, and in San Diego, where they have this race, you come around the corner, and there's, you know, fans, there was a big thing, tons of spectators. You come around the corner, and then there's like 600 meters, which is like a lap and a half on a track that goes to the finish line. So the camera coverage is like, you know, in a moving camera next to them the whole time. And this is cross country, which isn't on a circular track. This is out in, you know, a big park between trees, all this stuff. And so they're next to them, and then all of a sudden it cuts to the wide shot at the front of where the finish line is. And you can just see down there. And they come around the corner, then all of a sudden in the back, you see Matt Withrow, who's got his headband and long hair. And then you see, you know, Shatterson and Galen Rupp, who have like, you know, like, they're like decked out, and they look like, you know, they're into it. Matt Withrow is just the sort of this, like, full of heart guy. Also, you see him, like, you just see him, like, shake his head and bear down and start sprinting. The announcers are like, okay, here it comes, Rupp and Kipchu. Oh, my God. Matt Withrow making a huge move. And he blows by them. And in the post interview, he's like, he has a moment, he's like, at that moment, man, I looked back, and I looked Galen in the eyes, and I knew it. I knew I could do it. And then he just goes full out and fucking destroys them. And he won it, and it was like this big upset, and it was a big deal. And he was like, it was like the most heroic, awesome moment. Every kid in Illinois was like cheering in their basements with all their other high school friends. It was like such a great, big, crazy moment. And this was just like, this is 2003 high school nationals. And it's like, that's something most people wouldn't know the whole backstory of all the runners and all the people in. But we were like obsessed with it. And that was like, that was like the moment to us. It was super fun.
I can picture like Matt's parents back home, like, you could save the farm with that money. He saved the farm with that money.
Yeah, well, no joke. Like, his girlfriend wore, like, he wore a cowboy hat around. So his girlfriend's wearing his cowboy hat. It's like, just like such a dramatic, like,
oh my god. That is seriously so incredible. I'm seriously like so happy. And like I hate running, but that is a great story. And I like genuinely, that sounds like an amazing documentary.
Oh my god, it'd be a terrific documentary.
Right, like what? Right, and like what you were saying at the end of the story, like, you know, people wouldn't know that story. Like you said, it's just 2003 high school national, you know, track competition. But, like, I was just so enthralled by that. And, like, I don't care about track, but, like, that is just so, so cool.
Yeah, we're all obsessed around it's called the Die Stat Forum. That's where everyone talk and talk about this stuff. And I just sent you guys a link to a poster that
yeah.
Kids
oh, my God.
Like that was the every kid had this thing. You guys have to post it on your Tumblr. That was the thing that everyone had on the wall.
I'm doing it.
Like Matt Winthrop embodies losers and winners, kind of like the whole scrappy little scrapper doing something. That's incredible. What a great
cowboy hat.
But so now the whole thing is running is Matt Winthrop is sponsored by Nike and still coached by Roberto Salazar, and he's actually the best American distance runner of all time that we've ever had. He came in second in the Olympics last Olympics in the 10K, which was the first time an American had ever really done that. But so basically his coach, his group is coached by Alberto Salazar, sponsored by Nike, and there's another group coached by this guy, Schumacher. And there's this big thing going on where Nike has been sort of exerting pressure on the event. If any of the Salazar guys don't do well, or something happens to their team, Nike, since they sponsor all of them, have been causing some trouble. So right now there's a big backlash of the Nike guys versus everyone else. You might have seen there's a big photo right now of there's a woman who won the 3K at the indoor qualifier, the U.S. indoor championship, and she won the 3,000, but the person that was coached by Salazar and sponsored by Nike, this girl Jordan Hasse, who is this like young phenom like Galen Ruff, she came in fourth, but she's sponsored by Nike. So then Nike put in this huge injunction to try to get the person who came in first disqualified because they claimed that she jostled their runner. And for the first time ever, the USATF like sort of like bent to the will of Nike and disqualified the person who came in first. And there was this huge uprising. So there's this photo going on the internet of all of the unsponsored female distance runners holding hands, walking off the track together, just like act of defiance against the Nike-sponsored runners.
This is a sequel documentary. This is a sequel. Matt Winthrop against Nike.
And then the USATF undid the thing and then reinstated the woman who won. So it's like there's a lot of drama and a lot of really interesting stuff going on in distance running. So whenever I bring it up, everyone laughs. It's like, oh, what interesting stuff could there be in running? But it's so interesting.
That was the most interesting thing I've heard all day.
So cool to hear these stories.
We were
all people that were living our lives as little pretty young people, but still people.
Still, yeah. Wow.
There's stories everywhere, guys. Every little niche place has their heroes and villains.
Wow, I guess you learned a lesson this week, guys.
The whole point is
skateboarding as a kid too.
Really?
Oh yeah. Me and my friend, we built a half pipe in our friend's backyard. I was.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I was real into it, but then because I did so many sports, I started to stop because I couldn't afford to like break limbs.
Yeah. Do you watch like a lot of skate videos and stuff like that?
I did when I was a teenager. I was obsessed with it, but
now
I'm sort of out of the loop.
But like which ones? Like, I'm like really kind of obsessed with that stuff. I don't know anybody. I've never mentioned it. But I like skateboarding. I like love like a lot of old stuff too. So there might be like some old stuff there.
Yeah, I mean Rodney Mullen was my guy growing up. I was really
into
the flat ground stuff because there was less of a chance of me being able to break my limbs, but. We also watch all the Birdhouse videos. Like, we love watching, like, Destroying America and all that kind of stuff.
Is that the one, the hookups video with Steve Kirchner and Jeremy Klein with the big white van? And
yeah.
And just mashing shit with the hookups video.
Yeah.
They're part of the end where they wear the suits, right?
Right.
Exactly. I love that stuff, yeah.
There's tons of great stuff. Yeah, I spent a lot of my time at the skate park. Yeah, that was a really fun period of time. I was really into skateboarding just like that. Yeah.
That's a very teen statement. Spent a lot of time at the skate park.
Yeah, for real. Teen thing. Yeah.
Do any graffiti?
No, I hate breaking rules. I like getting rules changed. If the person in charge lets me change the rule or find a loophole, but it terrifies me to break rules.
Yep.
Into my body. I don't like breaking rules.
Royce, I was just gonna say, one of my favorite things in the world is that vine you made where you skateboard.
Oh yeah.
I will find this and post a link to this, but basically what happens is Royce like tries to do a trick on a skateboard. It just cuts to the board flipping in air and it cuts back to Royce falling on the skateboard. So it's very obvious that Royce did not do anything, but in the end, he still falls. And I remember I found that, and I laughed so hard for like a 5 minute stretch. Oh my god, that's one of my favorite things. Also, Andres just left.
Yeah, Andres had to go.
Yeah, Paige, what's on your mind right now? I feel like if there's one thing I can walk away from this podcast being done, getting Paige and Chris to talk more.
What's on my mind? I have to do a math. I have to take a math test after this. Yeah. Calculus? Let's see, what's on it? There's like arc length of polar graphs and area, or like volume of like with like cylindrical shells and stuff like that. Yeah. Ooh.
I didn't even take Calc. All of my friends in high school were like, "Oh, I'm taking Calc this, and I'm taking AP macro and micro," and I was like, "I'm taking theater production and 20th century film and music." I took all of my electives.
How did that at your school?
What's that?
You had like a film class at your school?
No, it wasn't a film class so much as it was a history class. So the idea was that it was all about how times changed and how the music of the 20th century, music and film in the 20th century changed as well. And like what, like we had to watch a couple movies for the class, like Casablanca and Easy Rider. We watched. It was really interesting, and it's only half a year, but that was a really cool class. But I just took all bullshit classes my senior year. I think one of the only reasons that, like, I do anything that involves arts, like, I kind of was interested in chemistry. The only reason I, like, really stick to arts is because it means not doing math. I think that's, like, the biggest reason.
I still love math. I find it very comforting.
Oh, yeah. But math numbers, but what about just, like, if you had to, like, take a calc test?
Yeah, I don't like tests. I hate tests. But at NYU, I minored in computer programming and loved just, like, getting sucked into it in the same way that I loved, like, getting sucked into math homework. There's something, like, comforting about being, like, great, my world is as wide as the pages right now, and that's all I have to worry about.
Mm-hmm. Here's a thought that just processing that entire amazing story about the track and field. Do you guys get, like, drawn to, like, narratives a lot? If that makes any sense, like finding the narratives in like real life. I think that's something I love to do, and I think that's why I like to like cruise around Wikipedia and just like reading these stories or like trying to like it's a lot of dry information and stuff like that. But, like you can always pick out like the narrative of like, someone's life or like the narrative of something. Does that make any sense?
Kinda.
Because like you could have seen that track and field thing and then just viewed it as like some sporting event and like not like you turned that into the story. Like, you telling it was what like kind of organized the information in like an intriguing way. Like you had a part in that. Like someone could have said the exact same story in like a really boring way that wouldn't have gotten us like invested in it the way that we were.
Yeah, but I think that's also the thing that unites all of you guys is that you're all people that obviously are interested in the story behind things, which is why you all, in your own ways, got invested. You saw this thing that we were making, and we're like, great, we want to figure out what's going on behind the scenes of this. We want to like get into the world of this. Like, I feel like you guys are all people for whom that is something that interests you. Otherwise, you would not be doing a podcast with a bunch of relative strangers that you met because you're all fans of this thing that you all decided to explore.
Right.
Yeah, I think that's true. But I also think that's also what unites a lot of people that are into comedy and storytelling and things like that, is that like you realize there is a story behind everything. And that's why New York is the place to be. A world of stories. You walk down the street, they're there.
Yeah.
Someone made a reference to Bay Area at my Jeff Lyruru show. I forget what they said exactly, but like the words Bay Area came out, and I just was like, of course. Like, not even near voice, and someone's yelling about the Bay. I was gonna say something. I think that one of my favorite things is narratives, but also behind-the-scenes information. Like, I'm super into movie trivia, but, like one of the most fascinating things was, like, when, like, this is gonna be a weird statement, but JD came to my house with Chris to do the video, and one of my favorite things was, like, the behind-the-scenes of it all. Like, there's so much footage that never made it onto that, onto the IFC video, like, and the behind-the-scenes moments of just, like, walking into a diner with these two guys, and, like, I think those are way more funny than maybe half of the stuff we said just shooting, like, just, like, the moments that we don't get to see.
Well, I think it almost ties back to, like, the viewing things less on, like a two-dimensional, wanting to, like, dig in and, like, see the behind-the-scenes stuff. So I feel like a lot of things that I like, it's, like, I have this, like, visceral reaction. Not just what it is, but like what happened and like what led to it being made. Like, I kind of got this train of thought in my head when you mentioned like the skate, you being in the skateboarding, because like one of my favorite skate parts is, this is off of the tangent, is Guy Miler's part in Fully Flared, and it's like an amazing part. He does all these cool things, But what I love about it, it's amazing. What I love about it is like the narrative of that part in general, in which the guy who made the part, Guy Mariano, was like the child prodigy, and then he fell off, and then he had another part that was amazing, and then he became a crackhead. Like he got addicted to crack. Like he just fell off the side of Earth, and like no one heard of him, like, no one knew what was around. Was in a terrible place, and then he came back and put his life together. And then in 2007, after basically being this child prodigy with this part in 1992, he came out with like one of the best parts ever, coming back from being a crackhead. And I just love the story of that. And it's like this like redemption story. It's amazing. And like, I can't like take away, like, they're like forever rooted in my mind, like that part and the story. That's why I love it, and that's why I'll still like go back and like watch it. Or like that, similar to how I like the show. Like I like there's all these things that I'm invested in outside of the show. So when I watch an episode, like I'm always thinking of that too, and it just makes me like love it more, you know?
The Chris Gethard show itself is almost a narrative where.
Exactly.
Which sounds silly because yes, there are stories, but like the fact that it's this stage show, the TV show, to public access to like shooting a pilot, and I think that narrative is like so inspiring. Where when you tell people about the show, you don't only tell them about like, oh, this is, you know, what it happened, what happened, like this is the story of it and why it's so crazy.
Naomi's turning into a robot.
Okay, so I was just
yeah, I think we lost Naomi there. I think we're losing everyone one at a time.
It's battle royale. Only one person will make it to the end.
Yeah, Naomi, I don't know if you know, but Naomi says,
I'm going to be the one who makes it. Yeah, we can hear you now. I'm going to be the one who makes it to the end, but no one will know, so it'll just be like 10 minutes of silence at the end of this podcast.
And then you'll just quietly be like, okay, that's the end, I think.
Yep.
Well, I told a story, so you can leave that in there.
Well, I mean, like,
and then everybody realizes that they can.
The listener will be able to hear it,
right? Yeah.
It's just about CGGS. Nobody cares. That's not what this podcast is about.
I don't know what type of person is still going to be listening at this point. Hashtag, first hashtag, the podcast. We haven't done one yet. Hashtag, what should we do? Like something like, who's listening? Or
that's weak.
Hashtag with
how about JD suggests a hashtag?
Hashtag the story of.
All right.
Since Royce went on his big tangent about finding the story. Yeah. But make it hashtag the story of, and then after that, just put something that you imply had been talked about in this podcast that definitely had not been.
Right.
Just so people can be like, wait, where in the podcast they talk about, like, the decommunism of Prague or whatever.
We will, of course, like we'll retweet all of them, so people will be like, I missed that part. I missed that. Oh no.
I'll make them have to re-listen. Who's been sending us riddles?
Yeah, someone's been fucking emailing us riddles.
How come you haven't been reading the riddles on the air?
We got them
all last week, like between podcast and podcast.
Let's pull up some. I haven't been able to get any of them.
I figured out one. The one that's, I think the name is Coffin. That was the one. It was like the man who invented it didn't need it. The man who needs it doesn't want it. And something else, and it's a coffin. The big surprise. But yeah, but like, who's ever been emailing us riddles? You're doing a very good job, and I'm trying not to Google the answers to them, but I'm so tempted because I feel like such a dumbass for not knowing them. Oh no, what is Royce's face? So, what is going on, guys?
Royce is muted currently.
Yep. Royce, you're muted. This needs to get cut out.
What happened? When I opened up to get the riddles, I decided that my email site into the TCGS team's email.
Sure.
And so I've been talking the entire time. I thought that it was just so uninteresting. Because I feel like that's kind of a thing where I'll go off on a tangent and everyone will just like be like stoned. And I'll feel super awkward. So does anyone want to hear a riddle?
Hey, wait, sorry, before you read that riddle, I probably need to go because I think I just heard one of my parents walk down the hallway, stop in front of my door, and then just walk away. But I was being quiet, but I think they want me to go to sleep. Or do take that math test, I suppose. Yeah.
I do think that the end of the podcast should always be when Paige has to do homework.
Oh my god. That is completely
insane. That's great. No, you guys keep going, but I have to go. So, cool.
I feel like that's a fitting end, right? I feel like that's a great end to the podcast.
Okay, we can have the riddle if you want, or we can just end with me doing my math test.
We'll read one riddle, and then we'll read one riddle, and then we'll, like...
Okay.
Paige is busted. Paige is busted. She's talking to her parents. Right now, Paige is silently talking to her parents. And she's telling them that she'll be done super soon. I'm so sorry. I'll be quiet.
That's accurate.
How long has she been talking?
So, I think fans of her show should email in their riddle. Email in their answer to TCGS. TCGS@gmail.com.
Perfect.
And if they know the answer to the riddle, they will get a special teen shout out next week, right?
Yep, yep.
Yeah, you should have teen.com. That we
and they'll get the shout down someone will
shout out.
Yeah. Awesome.
Okay,
thank you for having me, guys.
Oh yeah.
JD, thanks for being here. It's fitting. JD's here.
Alright. So, we'll see everybody next week.
Ask Jeff Rubin and Pat Castle.
Yeah. We need Jeff Rubin and Pat Castle to say, like, you really need to do this podcast.
But be nice about it.
Yeah, whatever. But yeah, don't harass. Harass is a rough word. Alright.
Okay. So long.
Bye.